Hi everyone, it's Carly here. I hope you all are well. Okay, so this week we review Some Kind of Wonderful, and we had an amazing guest on, a casting director by the name of Bonnie Zane, and we had a great time chatting with her, but three things went wrong, and the whole episode became a bit of a shit show. So basically, my internet decided not to work randomly. Maddie accidentally deleted her audio, and then Bonnie's audio ended up only being 9 minutes long. So between the three of us, in three different places around the world, three separate audio issues happened, and I don't know, me and Maddie have chosen to believe that it's John Hughes haunting us because we made fun of him at one point. So anyways, this episode's really strange. So after the theme song, it's basically just going to go right into the facts of the movie. And you're going to hear me and Maddie refer to Bonnie at points. But sadly, her interview just did not work. So we apologize. We were really upset about it and we were both so frustrated. But alas, things like this happen. So I hope you'll forgive us and you enjoy the episode anyway. Okay, so enjoy the episode. So as you all know, this week we are reviewing Some Kind of Wonderful.
Yes!
It premiered February 27th, 1987, and it is PG-13. The director is Howard Deutsch, and he also directed Pretty in Pink.
Oh!
The writer is John Hughes, and the movie stars Eric Stoltz, Mary Stuart Masterson, Leah Thomas, and Craig Sheffer. The log line is, when Keith goes out with Amanda, the girl of his dreams, Amanda's ex-boyfriend plans to get back at Keith. Meanwhile, Keith's best friend, Tomboy Watts, realizes she has feelings for Keith.
So, when I first read that log line, I think it's accurate. It's definitely not wrong, but it's confusing.
It sounds like it is some type of Shakespearean play.
Yes.
With all the different dynamics going on.
Totally.
But, yeah, when I first read the logline, I was very confused because I thought that it said, I didn't realize that Watts was a girl. When it says tomboy, I was like, oh, tomboy is a girl who's kind of like acts boyish. Anyways, I was confused. I was like thinking it was going to be like a queer 1980s teen movie, which you don't see.
Right.
But it turns out that it's not. It is very heterosexual.
Yes, and now just to, this is something that we spoke about quickly with Bonnie, but I've never seen this movie, and I know you have more trivia, so I'll let you say that in a second, but before we do, just about the log line, I've never seen this movie. However, in He's Just Not That Into You, Jennifer Goodwin's character mentions, I don't really remember how it's brought up, but she says something about, she references this movie and says, am I the Amanda or the Watts or something like that in this situation, which is basically like, am I the pretty girl that everybody wants or am I the best friend?
What are the odds that Bonnie chose this movie? It's referenced in He's Just Not That Into You, starring two people that Bonnie cast in the show Ed.
I know, it was, because it was, and we all made that connection, I mean, as you've already listened to, hopefully, if the interview didn't fucking burn, when we speak to Bonnie, she mentioned something about Justin Long and Jennifer Goodwin and how she casted them in Ed, and then I went, holy shit, they were in He's Just Not That Into You, in fact, they were in that, like, they were love interest or whatever.
Yeah.
In He's Just Not That Into You, which is the movie that references Some Kind of Wonderful. So anyway, where I'm going with that though is because of that reference in He's Just Not That Into You, I knew slightly, like the log line made sort of sense to me because I kind of knew the general concept. So I knew that Watts was a girl.
Right. That makes sense. Which I need to point out, like I really tried hard not to overstate how much I love Justin Long when Bonnie was talking about him. But I was like, so, I was so excited when she was talking about him. It's my goal in life to get him in a Hallmark or Lifetime Christmas movie that I've written.
I thought you were going to say in a hall, like walking through the hall and like cornering him into a corner.
Oh, I would also like to corner him while he's walking down a hall.
I don't know, maybe.
That's also a fantasy of mine.
I'm sure it is. Do the rest of your trivia. I know you have some fun facts.
Okay, so the trivia is that Howard Deutsch, who's the director of this movie, and Leah Thompson, who stars in this movie, fell in love while filming this, and they are now married. And they have procreated, and they have Zoe Deutsch as their offspring.
One of their offspring.
One, right. There's another one named Madeline, right?
Madeline, I think. And the only reason I think it's Madeline is because it's spelt differently than my name.
Oh, okay.
I'm only saying you don't want to be the sister who, like, is your sister is someone famous and no one cares about you. Unless maybe you do want that. I don't know. Just want to bring her up.
Right. That's true. I hope that a Madeline is happy and well.
Not Zoe, though. I hope she's not well.
I hope Zoe's just miserable. I'm just kidding. No, I really like Zoe Deutsch. She's younger than us and she's like killing it and like producing and stuff. And I'm jealous, but also impressed.
Yeah, that's half of my life is.
I really like Leah Thompson. I think she's so cute. I just think she's such a cutie patootie. Mm-hmm.
She is.
But like this movie, I feel like her character is like has like zero depth. And I'm like, oh, this role would be so boring to play. But anyways, we can get into that. Okay, so the other thing is that I've already mentioned in the Pretty in Pink fact check. I mean, fact check. What do I think I am? Monica Patton?
Oh, my God.
In our trivia with Pretty in Pink, I mentioned this, but I'll say it again. Molly Ringwald was offered the role of Amanda Jones, but when she refused, Hughes took it personally, and this effectively ended their working relationship, and they never worked together again. So, basically, Molly Ringwald was like, yo, this is the exact same script as Pretty in Pink. Like, I'm not doing this again. And then John Hughes was, like, really upset. And we both know my theory that I think John Hughes was obsessed with Molly Ringwald. And he got, you know, his feelings hurt. And then he, like, blacklisted her because she wasn't really in movies after this for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. You've mentioned that before. And, I mean, for anyone who hasn't watched Some Kind of Wonderful, it is very similar to Pretty in Pink, except the ending is the exact opposite.
Well, yeah, it's a role reversal in this one, but also, yeah, in Pretty in Pink, John Hughes was really mad that she wasn't that popular, but the Molly Ringwald character didn't end up with Ducky, because I guess the studio was like, no, this doesn't work with her ending up with Ducky, which I totally agree with. And so in this one, John Hughes was like, no, like this time the main person is ending up with like the misfit weirdo. Sure. And that's what happened. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, so this is interesting. 2 years after this movie was filmed, Eric Stoltz had been the original choice to play Marty McFly in Back to the Future. And he had even shot 5 weeks worth of footage as Marty before he was replaced by Michael J. Fox, because apparently he was too serious and he didn't have any like comedic, energy that they wanted or whatever. And so they totally had to reshoot. And the connection to Back to the Future in this movie is that Leah Thompson, who played Amanda, she would go on to play the mom in Back to the Future and had to see her friend Eric Stoltz get fired. Which is sad, but Michael J. Fox is just, like, so perfect in that role.
He really is. But that's such a huge budget, like, blow to the budget of filming 5 weeks with somebody and then having to redo it all.
I know. I mean, you are on, like, the production side of things. Like, can you imagine doing 5 weeks of a movie and then the director's like, oh, by the way, Maddie, we're starting over.
I would be so... I mean, I don't even have a role in, like, anything to do with that side of it, but I'm a... like. Of the budgetary side of it, I mean. But I would be so frustrated. I'd be like, are you effing kidding? Like, did we just waste everyone's life? Yes, we did. For 5 weeks. Like, it's not even like 5 days or whatever. It's 5 weeks. That's so long. And assuming that each shoot day was 12 hours.
Oh my gosh, I know. And like the actors, like Doc. You've seen Back to the Future, I'm assuming. Okay, yeah. I guess Doc, the funny part of this is that the director went up to him and was like, so I have something to tell you. we're replacing Eric. And then I guess Doc was like, who's Eric?
Oh my god!
Because Doc thought his real name was Marty.
Shut up. Oh my god.
I know. I love Back to the Future though. I feel like it would be cool if we reviewed it because it is a teen movie.
I've only seen the first one.
Okay, well, the second one is so good. And then the third one says that. It's set in the Wild Wild West, which I could just, like, care less.
Oh, god.
Anyway, the last trivia I have is that this is the feature debut of the one and only Candace Cameron.
Yes, when I saw her, I was so excited. So she plays Eric Stoltz, who plays Keith, his youngest sister. And so she doesn't really have much to do with the plot. She's just kind of there. And I was so excited. I mean, not to sound super creepy or anything, but John Hughes is good at finding cute kid actors to be in his movies.
Have you ever seen that movie, the documentary, where the kids are like, they're trying to find, what's his face?
So, John Hughes. So, Carly, it's funny that you say this, because the listeners will know that when we were talking to Bonnie, this actually came up.
Oh.
So at one point in our interview with Bonnie, Carly's internet cut out. And we only had 10 minutes left with Bonnie. So we just continued for a little bit just at the end. And Bonnie brought that documentary up. It's great. And it's called Don't You Forget About Me. And something that is really cool about it is that it... So when I was in high school in grade 11 or 12 or something... our teacher said, oh, we have like these filmmakers coming in. They're shooting a documentary. They are alumni. So they graduated from my school and this teacher was their teacher however long ago. And it was the documentarians for this movie. It was this movie. And so in the movie, I don't think I'm in it, but my class is, and I think my cousin is, and there's all these shots in a classroom, and it's my classroom. Yes, I don't know if I'm, I have to find it. I don't know if I'm in the background. I definitely am not interviewed, but I might be in the background somewhere, so I'm gonna see if I can find
That's
it.
So
but
wild.
I know all the kids. It's so weird. Like, what a
small... I thought it was an American documentary, because they go to Chicago and try to find John.
No, yeah, I mean... No. Yes, they do that. But no, it's not American. And they it's so funny that we've now done, I don't know, three John, this is now our fourth, I think, John Hughes movie. And I'm just bringing, well, I didn't bring it up, but it's just coming out now that, yeah, that documentary, my class is in it.
That's so wild.
I know. Isn't that funny?
The ending, I was like all excited. I was like, are they going to find John? Because he was known as like a recluse or whatever. And then they don't. He's dead.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Okay, dude, can we get into this fucking movie?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so I don't even know. Like, let's just get into it. So Eric Stoltz, he plays Keith. He's obsessed with this girl, Amanda Jones, played by Leah Thompson. He's really kind of creepy, to be honest. He paints her and draws her from afar. It's really frightening, actually. I'm a little troubled by Keith.
It's a little much. Like, I mean, he... yeah, I'm sorry, you're right. And I'll cross that bridge about that painting later. But anyway, keep going. Yes, Keith loves Amanda. And she has a shitty boyfriend named Hardy.
Okay, Hardy is played by Craig Sheffer, which I just need to point out is Uncle Keith.
Oh my god.
In One Tree Hill, okay? His name is Keith in One Tree Hill, and he's a mechanic, just like Keith in this movie, and he's also in love with his best friend.
That's like the same character. So weird. What a weird... That's so weird.
So weird.
Come on.
So yeah, I love Uncle Keith. I'm very attracted to Uncle Keith, but in this movie, he is a dirt bag and
he's
not
so
the good kind.
Nasty. Like, literally, so just to give a little bit... I'm not even going to talk about him that much because he's not important to me. Excuse me, I have the hiccups. But he, just to give you an idea, so he's dating Amanda and they're in high school, as obviously. And he, like, I can see, you know, teenage boys are shitty and they cheat. And teenage girls do too. I'm not just saying it's boys, but people cheat. That's stupid. He cheats, like, while they're in school, in the hallway, against lockers, he's making out with other girls, and, like, Amanda walks by, and he's like, oh, not sure her dad died, she was sad, or something like that.
I know.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So he's clearly a scumbag, and anyway, at some point, they break up. They're clearly, like, on and off, like, for the past all of high school.
Yeah.
And Keith's best friend is named Watts, who is this very, like, very big tomboy. Like, she's got short hair, she plays the drums, leather jackets,
I think that the proper terminology now might be androgynous. I don't know if we're allowed to say tomboy anymore, but anyways.
Really?
Carry on.
Oh, okay, so she's pretty androgynous, that's fair, but everyone's calling her a lesbian. Everybody calls her a lesbian. So
everyone's like, wait, you wear combat boots, you have short hair, and you're a drummer.
And you're straight.
Yeah. No, she's just like, she's kind of just like grunge before grunge even was cool.
That's true. That's a good point. Totally.
I think Watts is cool.
Oh, I think she's great. I mean,
she's a little bit sensitive. Like, she needs to cool it a little bit. Like, Keith is allowed to like whoever he wants, Watts. Like, chill out.
I mean, I get, so as a best friend, I can see the like defense. Like, one of my best friends in high school was a boy, and every time and throughout university, went to university together too, and when someone would show an interest to him in him, or when he would show an interest in somebody else, I got so defensive. Not in like, I didn't like him in that way, but I was like, so that's a little bit different from the movie, but I was like, I need to approve of this person, because I'm not gonna have if there's gonna be another girl in your life who's gonna be important, I need to get along with her. I was very defensive of him.
That's interesting.
And still am, but like since then he's had incredible girlfriends that I've always really liked. But
yeah, I feel like I've had a few guys in my life who I would consider like best friends, and it was always kind of a little uncomfortable when they would talk to me in kind of a gross way, like, oh, that girl's so hot. Like, what a rocket. I'd be like, okay, like, yeah, she's pretty, but if you're going to talk like a douchebag, can you, like, not choose me? But the one thing that I do think I was good at, though, is that, like, if I could tell that they actually really liked the girl and they were being respectful, I would be, like, a really good wingwoman.
Oh, my God. I was such a good wingwoman.
Were you?
You don't even understand. Oh, my God. Like, I don't even care if any of these, but mostly for my girlfriends, like, I'm literally so good, but also my guy friends, but there are so many weddings that I have gone to in the past 2 years, and I will stick to this, whether they want me to or not, that I take full credit for getting that couple together.
I'm the same way. I'm the exact same way. Mom, all my friends laugh at me, because they're like, you always try to take care of it for our relationships, and I'm like, yeah, because if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be together.
Yeah, totally. I totally do that all the time. In fact, my friend is getting married tomorrow. Two of my friends are getting married tomorrow. But because of COVID, it's a very small wedding and like just family. But I sent them a card and everything, and I said, you're fucking welcome.
Like, that's so funny. I really can't take any credit for you and Mike, sadly.
Nope. Unfortunately, nobody can. Nobody. It was, I think, in... Well, our friend Chris could, because I guess he introduced us, but that was 7 years before we started dating, so I don't know if that counts, but sure.
I can take credit for, sometimes when you guys would disagree, I would be the buffer, and I like that. It made me feel important.
Oh,
like, I
yeah.
was helping you guys overcome a very, very serious disagreement, such as, is this movie good?
Yes. Oh, you can definitely take credit on a lot of that kind of stuff, for sure. There was a lot of our relationship was because, like, a lot of the reasons we didn't break up was because of you. It was like, stay together for the kids.
I know, I felt like I was like the child, because sometimes when you guys would, get into a disagreement of sorts, like the next day I would go up to you and I'd be like, are you guys okay? Did you guys make up? And you were always like, yes, it's okay. We're fine. We're going to stay together. Don't worry. And I'd be like, are you sure?
And we're like, it's not your fault. It's not your fault, Carly. Oh my God.
Anyways.
Just so that everybody's on the same page, if nobody's seen it. So like we said, Keith likes Amanda. His best friend is Watts. Keith and her boyfriend keep breaking up. So at some point, he asks Amanda out. And she says yes, but it's more of to get back at her shitty ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
But because of the way the school is, there's always going to be that connection between Amanda and her ex-boyfriend, Hardy, because he hosts parties, and to be part of, you know, the social, whatever, hierarchy, she has to go to those parties. So he's like, you can't be with him because you're still going to have to be at my parties and that kind of shit, whatever. But something I want to bring up is, so at one point, Keith takes Amanda to a gallery, a museum. And this is sort of with what you brought up earlier. It's the middle of the night. He takes her to this museum. And the reason they get in is because the school bully, who is now friends with Keith, he's like this 45-year-old skinhead.
He also looks exactly like Robert De Niro from Taxi Driver.
Totally. Oh, my God. Like, it's... Yeah, we should do a side-by-side. Totally. And he... Yeah. So his dad is the security guard at the museum. So he lets them in. Anyway, they go in, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, I want you to see this piece of art in this other room or some shit. And they turn the corner and go into this room. And it's this, like, full movie poster size portrait painting of Amanda that I guess so Keith
creepy.
It's so creepy that I guess Keith did, and I have a lot of questions about it, because I'm like, first of all, it's not, they don't, she kind of goes, oh wow, that's me or whatever, and then that's kind of it, like that's there's no kiss, there's no, like, that's kind of the scene.
I mean, what's she supposed to do? Be like, wow,
I don't know, I don't know,
a year painting me, I mean.
But,
yeah.
Like, why would they bring it up then if they're not going to be a kiss scene or something? Like, it's very anticlimactic. So, but I'm also, it's not really clear. He doesn't say, like, I did this. I also don't understand where they got this frame from, because framing is very expensive. But it's like a museum frame. And also, how is it hanging on the wall? Like, it's displayed in this professional art gallery.
I don't know.
You can't just take something down and put it up. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
That's what I'm gonna do, so when I finish the painting I've been working on of my mom. I've been working on a painting of my mom for probably 2 years now. It's an oil painting.
Shit. It's not been 2 years. There's no effing way. It's been like 5.
Well, it's been a long time, and
it's beautiful, but it's been longer than 2 years.
It's okay. But I don't know what to do with it when I'm done, because I'm like, my mom's like, I don't want it. Like, what am I going to do? Put up a picture of myself up on the wall? And I'm like, well, I don't know. So maybe I'll just sneak into a gallery and put it up.
Oh, my God. That's so funny that your mom's like, I don't want this
thing. It's actually really funny. Like, every day she walks into my room and she looks at it. She goes, yeah, my eye's a little bit big. Yeah. That doesn't really, like, my teeth aren't really quite right. And I'm like, bitch, I've been working on this for 5 years.
That's so funny. Oh, my God.
We'll see. I'll give it to you as a present, Maddie.
Oh, good. So I can have a picture of your... Do you know what? Actually, we've started a area in the house. So you know where the stairs are, obviously. That staircase is now our portrait wall.
Oh.
So anytime... Yeah, anytime I have a portrait, not of any of us, it's like if I go to Value Village and there's like this creepy old lady portrait, I hang it up there.
Wow, do you want
to... So we have...
Do you want to add Wendy?
Like, I've got one of a little boy giving him a little finger. We've got all these different portraits. So yeah, we could have Wendy Smale, like, just in the middle of our staircase randomly.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. All right, well, when I'm done, I'll wrap it up.
Great.
Okay, so, yeah, so then they, like, I don't know, the date's kind of weird. He shows her a painting, then they, like, are at Griffith Observatory, like, is it Griffith Observatory? Is this movie set in L.A.? Anyway, they're at some, cool stadium thing outside and, like, chatting, and then, oh, and then he gives her a pair of effing earrings that he spent all his college money on. What an idiot.
Yes, so that was the thing that Bonnie, like, hated about this movie as well. And I think that's like a general consensus that, so Keith at one point in the beginning of the movie, Amanda's wearing these diamond earrings and he goes, nice earrings. And she's like, oh, thanks. They're not mine. They're Shane's, her best friend. Who's a girl.
Yeah.
And which, as a side note, love the name Shane on a girl. But anyway, so he's like, you should not have to borrow earrings. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? What's wrong with borrowing things from people? But anyway.
So I know. What's wrong with borrowing earrings from your friend?
Yeah, it's insane. It's not a bad thing. But anyway, so he buys her diamond earrings with all of his college tuition. This girl who, like, okay, I can, if somebody, if you give your wife or your partner, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever, something expensive like that, awesome. They have barely established that Amanda is even interested in him.
They've gone on one date.
They've gone on one date, and he gives her diamond, real diamond earrings that he has spent thousands, presumably thousands or hundreds at least, of dollars on.
I would be so afraid.
She needs to run. Like, yeah. After she, this man has now painted a portrait of her that has taken a long time and has given her diamond earrings all in the same night.
Oh, you're my. Like,
okay, this is a little much. I think it's going a little fast. Like, you need to put the brakes on a little bit, buddy.
Gifts is definitely not my love language. I get very uncomfortable when someone gives me an expensive gift.
No. Gifts are not for me. No, thank you.
Would you be more uncomfortable if someone on a first date gave you a painting that they did of you or a presumably $10,000 pair of earrings?
Both of those would put me right into a panic attack.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to tell you. Like, both of those would be horrible.
I honestly don't know what I would do.
No, I have no idea what I would do. So, just to make things worse, let's fast forward a little bit. I don't even know if it's this date or another date. I got a little confused, honestly. But at some point, Watts volunteers to drive them around for this, like, 10-part date, which I guess is probably this date. I don't even know. And she drives them around. And at this point, oh, I should say, Watts and Keith have kissed because she says something, you know, the classic, like, you don't even know how to kiss, let me show you sort of thing, which is the scene that I referenced, or that he's just not that into you references.
Right. Yeah, which I was surprised that, like, Watts seemed to think that she knew what being a good kisser was.
Well, I mean, like, she's kissed.
Watts been kissing.
She's been kissing all the girls, as everyone has. I'm kidding. That's not true.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. So she teaches him how to kiss or whatever, and then she realizes it's kind of like solidified in her mind that she likes him. And it's, there's some little like twinkle in his eye that he might like her. But he continues to see Amanda and is totally obsessed with Amanda buying her diamond earrings and all this shit. Watts volunteers to drive them around for this like 10-part date. And he gives her the earrings, blah, blah, blah. Gives Amanda the earrings. And I guess at this point, it's sort of established that Amanda could possibly be interested in this man who's painting her and giving her $10,000 worth of earrings. But, and at no point in this movie, except for the quick scene of the kiss, is it even mentioned that Keith could have feelings for Watts. It is always about Amanda. It's never...
Yeah, it's like, it's very subtle if we're supposed to catch on that maybe he likes Watts.
It's never referenced. It's, yeah, I wouldn't even call it subtle. I would call it non-existent. But anyway, so... anyway.
That would have been a good scene they could have had between Keith and his sister. Because, like, she doesn't really play, like, that big of a role. It would have been, like, a nice little scene if Keith was just, like, confiding in his sister, being like, I don't know, like...
Yeah.
I'm looking at Watts differently these days.
Yeah, there's no, like, even if he didn't say anything about that, he could be like, you know, Amanda's so hot, whatever, but Watts seems to have a bit of a problem, and the sister is like, oh, maybe Watts likes you, and then he goes like, oh, really, you think? Like, there's some... He doesn't have any idea that Watts is interested, yeah. And at no point does it show that he is interested. So, anyway, he gives Amanda these stupid earrings, and then he comes out of wherever they are. They both come out, and Watts is at the limo or car or whatever she's driving, and she's, like, visibly upset. And she says something along the lines of, like, you know what? You guys are... I'm so happy for you. Amanda, I'm so sorry I judged you. But I'm going to walk. I'm going to go. I'm going to walk home. But the car's yours. Enjoy the rest of your night. And so within seconds, she's now just begun walking. Like, it's, she's done three steps. And within those seconds, Amanda, who is clearly more fucking in tune with reality than anybody, realizes that Watts is in love with Keith. So she says some line about doing what's right, and she has to be on her own for a while after basically being abused emotionally by her original boyfriend and now being, like, obsessed over by this second man. And she's like, I need to be by myself. Everyone who's crazy is trying to date me. So here are the earrings back. She does it really nicely. She's not being rude. She goes, here are the earrings back. I think they belong to somebody else or whatever the fuck. And within those 2 seconds, it's like it lightens Keith's stupid fucking head. Oh, Watts loves me and I love Watts. So he runs after her. I can't emphasize. At this point, Watts has maybe taken 15 steps. Like she's not, this all happens so fast. And he runs after her.
Also, it's so funny that it's like, it's Amanda that has the realization.
And no one else.
Keith is just kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess. I guess that's true.
Keith, honestly, is the dumbest person. He has a problem because he not only does not know social cues of, on a first date, please don't give someone a fucking life-size portrait that you painted and also spend all of your money on her, but also maybe realize that your best friend is in love with you. Though, granted, that girl never really... Well, she did kiss him. Anyway, so he runs after her. I write that Watts looks like Macaulay Culkin.
Oh.
Which she kind of does to me. Like, it, obviously a much older Macaulay Culkin than in Home Alone.
Watts, you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, just because she looks, I don't know, she just kind of looked like Macaulay Culkin to me for just a moment. All it's right. Just another John Hughes connection. And he runs up to her, throws her up in the air. They're making out. He gives her the earrings. And here we go with problem 100. And Bonnie mentioned this as well. Keith then gives Watts the fucking diamond earrings that he just spent $10,000 on. Like, if you're spending that kind of money.
And then Watts goes, I was hoping they were for me all along. Oh, and I'm like, no, you weren't. It's so not your style, Watts. It's
not your style. Like... oh my god, there's so many things I have to say. If you're so in love with somebody that you spend thousands of dollars on earrings, how insulting is it that at the flip of a hat you can be like, oh, actually I'll give this to someone else?
I know, it's so rude.
Amanda should be insulted. Watts should be insulted.
Also, like, what's Watts gonna do? She's gonna put on her, like, spiky choker necklace and be like, oh, you know what would go good with this? $10,000 diamond earrings.
Oh my god. Yeah, I think it really suits... I would be
pawning them for sure.
100%. She could buy a fucking motorcycle with them. Like, oh my god.
Can we please write the sequel to this movie and just have it be about Watts realizing her true sexuality, selling the earrings, and Keith just, like, literally is such a dump because he didn't go to college.
Because he spent money on this fucking girl that he went on one date with. Oh my god, I can't. Oh.
And Watts just zooms by in her new motorcycle with some hot chick on the back being like, sorry, Keith!
See ya! Oh my god. That's so funny.
Keith's just, like, painting someone new.
Look, he belongs in an institution. He has a lot of problems. He's a stalker. Oh my god. Anyway.
Yeah, Keith's got problems.
So what do you rate this movie?
I give it a 6. You know, it's not horrible, girl! But
I gave it a 6 too.
Oh my gosh. What are the odds?
What are the odds?
I think this is probably John Hughes' laziest script. It's just like the plot is so bland. It's been done, aka Pretty in Pink. And, like, if I'm going to watch a movie about a love rectangle, I'm going to 10 Things. No question. Yeah,
of course you are. I mean, if you were going to watch a movie about anything, you're going to go to 10 Things.
Of course. 10 Things is superior to this. But, I mean, I don't know. In 1987, I probably would have been into it, but now I'm like, what a lame premise.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it. It was fine. But exactly, like, that's the thing, is it's not something that it's not going to be my go-to. But I mean, if I had cable, which I don't, but if I had cable and it was on, I would pause.
Yeah. I mean, it's too bad this is our last John Hughes that we're going to be reviewing, because it's kind of a, we kind of ended it on a,
not his best note.
Yeah, but that's okay.
That's all right. What do you think Rotten Tomatoes score?
I'm going to go with 74.
You're such a little shithead. You're such a fucking shithead.
We already know.
Okay, but I wrote mine down. Yesterday, I truly did say 75%. I don't remember what you said.
Yesterday, I said like 50, I think.
Right, and so the real answer is 78. And Carly's a little shit trying to make herself feel better saying 74. okay, and who is your weekly crush?
Okay, well, you know how you had a book club this summer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also had a book club this summer, but it eventually turned into a documentary club because everyone was, you know, my friends all have kids now, so they're like, okay, can we just watch a documentary on Netflix? And then we could talk about it at book club. And I was like, sure. So we watched this movie called Knock Down the House. It's about a bunch of women that are running for, like, I don't know, I guess Congress. Anyways, long story short is there's a girl, a woman in the movie. Her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And you would know where to see her because, like, she has, mm-hmm. like, a lot of videos online that people, like, kind of go viral because she's so smart. And she's so articulate and she's so amazing. Anyways, she's like our age and she won in New York and it was so inspiring and she's so cool. And I just, yeah, she's my weekly crush for sure.
All right, that's a pretty good one.
Don't feel bad if your weekly crush is like Mario Kart.
Okay, because, try to expose me.
Well, no, I'm just saying like mine aren't normally so sophisticated.
Sure. Well, I will look into this a bit more because I probably would recognize her this year, but I don't.
Yeah, I think you would.
I don't recognize her right now. My weekly crush is, I think it's this song, but it's, I guess, the girls who sing the song. I found it on TikTok, and this is now ages ago. And by the time this episode comes out, which I realize is only in a couple of weeks, it will be long past this. But it's these three girls on TikTok who, I believe, they're. Name like the name they go by is Avenue Beat, and they did this song. It's so incredible. It's called Low Key Fuck 2020, and it's this beautiful song, like it's all harmonies, and it's really addictive. And it's about, it starts off like something 2020 is our year, like everyone cheers, and then it's like gave this motherfucker a couple of months. And then it's like, my cat died, global pandemic took over. It's just, it's all about 2020 and it's gone completely viral and it's such a good song. And it's super catchy, but it's also beautiful. Like it's really beautifully
interesting.
Sung.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, anyway, I'm obsessed with it. So that's my weekly crush is that song. Everyone should, we'll put the video or something in the post, but it's such a good song. It's so good.
Okay, cool. Is that it? Yeah, so I guess
that's
we rated it. We did the whole bit. Okay.
Yeah, and so next week, do we want to see what next week is? I guess we should say is we're going back to weekly for the next little bit. Or we're going to try
to,
at least.
You're right. We are.
I mean, by this point, people will have known because this will be week three of going weekly in September. But next week will be Get Over It.
Is that true? Is that what it is?
Yep. I'm looking at we've made a schedule for the next.
You're right. Oh, you know how much I love a Kirsten Dunst classic.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. I haven't seen that one in so long.
Ben Foster. Oh my gosh. Martin Short is in this. I'm so excited.
Yo, Martin Short went to McMaster University, which is where I went to university. And
Eugene Levy, I know.
And exactly, Eugene Levy, no big motherfucking deal.
I know, I'm so mad I went to lame Humber. No one good went to Humber.
I'm sure they did. Those are the only two I have is Eugene Levy and Martin Short, but...
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. And Keanu Reeves went to my high school for one semester.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah.
Okay, that's another movie I would love to review is...
Yeah, that Bill and Ted's Big Adventure. Another person who went to my high school was Mick Perlis, who, if you're Canadian and you know the show Student Bodies, which we have referenced in past episodes, he played Victor.
Okay, well, you know what? 3 Days Grace went to my high school, so...
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. That's actually amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know any of their songs, but...
Well, also, Hilary Duff went to my high school, so... I'm just kidding.
Okay, well, you know what? Jesus H. Christ went to Crestwood.
Oh, my God.
So there.
Okay, you win. Jesus Christ went to your high school.
he was in my art class.
He was...
He kept to himself, mostly, but...
He was in your carpentry class. That would have been funnier.
That's true.
Oh, well, too bad you're not funny.
Thank you for listening to this episode. It was honestly hell on earth to do.
Oh, my God. It really was. I'm so happy it's over. And now, guess what? I'm about to press pause on my recording.
Oh,
or, like,
Maddie,
stop.
If you do
it
again.
If it fucking deletes, I will never record again in my life. I will promise you that.
I'll probably take 6 months off from speaking to you.
Oh my God. Thank you to Kevin Smale and Eric, new father. Well, he's already a father, but a new baby, father to a new baby, for our theme song.
I have a feeling that I'm probably going to take out my preface because they're pretty private. Oh, okay. But yes, okay, I have a niece now. Yay, I'm so excited.
Okay, so do you want to say that thank you again then?
No, it's okay. I have a niece. Well, that's exciting. That's good. That's enough of a story. Please check out our Instagram at Teenage Dirtbags Podcast. Also, we have a Patreon where we post silly videos of us eating hot wings and other things.
Yes, other things. And I'm going to start, I was thinking about this recently, but I want to record a video of me reading my diary entry from my first kiss because...
Oh, please.
I think I have to do that. Yeah, I think I might have to do that. So that'll go on a Patreon probably or something. Okay.
Bye.
Bye, Carly.
Can't wait to edit. So excited.
Okay, bye.
Bye.